I'm going out tonight. I'm feeling all right. Gonna let it all hang out. Wanna make some noise. Really raise my voice. Yeah, I wanna scream and shout. No inhibitions. Make no conditions. Get a little out of line. Sorry, language. I ain't gonna act politically correct. I only wanna have a good time. Best thing about being a woman is the prerogative to have a little fun and... Oh, oh, oh.
I haven't heard that one in a while. Well, that's a new version, no?
That's my version.
Okay, you know, no, that's what I thought.
Singing it in the shower.
That's a little bit of an interesting story. Well, she's got a resurgence going on right now, right? She's on tour.
I think so.
She's flying around after, yeah. I guess, the whole Brady Bunch divorce thing was going on. One was dating one, and then the other started dating, that whole thing going on between couples or something.
So I don't know. You know, you referenced Brady Bunch. That's my last name.
I know. It came to me, but I just, like, that was weird. And now she and I, let her do their thing. That's fine.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Layla.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having so much. Me.
No, I'm excited. I know you reached out to me and you wanted to talk about a bunch of things that are very interesting to me. And we want to talk about the industry, where it's headed, what's going on, what's really going on. So you want to share all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Let me do the quick shout out to you and all your information. You, Layla Brady, and you can find her on IG under Layla_painting, and her email is lbradypainting@gmail.com. Any other information you want to share? Phone number or anything like that?
No. People can, when they search for my business, I'm on Google.
Well, then what's the area that you're working in?
I'm spoiled. I only work in Stratford, Ontario.
Okay.
Because I've got my business to where I only work in Stratford, Ontario.
Good.
Yeah.
You don't need to go anywhere else.
No, I do it as favors once in a while. If it's for interest, or I get to rent a hotel for a night and go away, make it a fun little vacation.
Yeah, but Stratford's a nice little place too, and they got a lot of interesting homes. And
oh, it's gorgeous.
And they do what Toronto doesn't do. They keep up the work.
They do, and we have such amazing restaurants, and we have the theater, which I love, the Stratford Festival. I don't like Shakespeare, but I love the musicals, the drama. It's a vibrant town in the city. You have flowers everywhere, which makes it charming. You have so many independent stores, and you go there and you realize what a beautiful place is. Because you go to other cities and it's bleh, and there's garbage everywhere.
You talking about Toronto?
Oh, I'm talking about some other places just
like
around.
Small towns.
It's a bigger towns.
Okay.
I don't want to name them because I don't want to, you know, people.
I'll do it. Toronto.
Toronto's one of them. Yeah. You know, Kitchener, Cambridge,
Waterloo. Oh, the KW kind of
the
thing?
The KW. Waterloo, I think, is for the most part, pretty nice. But just some of the places you really notice the quality of life.
I think that's happening across Canada these days.
Oh, it is. Well, and the house prices have gone out this, right?
I left a nice comment today on a political post regarding our government, mm-hmm. and just mentioned something about an excavator and placing a monument over that.
Yeah, I think I saw that one.
Oh, did you? All right. Yeah. And then I give the Canadians a chance to come by and urinate every single time that they want to.
Yeah. I think I saw the...
I'm waiting for RCMP officers.
A fancy carpenter building a fancy box.
Something like that.
Something like that.
Let me do a quick shout out to Bob out west there. I've got his tea on today. Baker Plumbing, super nice guy. He's been on the show a couple of times, and we kind of see eye to eye, old school kind of mentality where it's like, let's just work and just have fun and meet people that have the same mindset instead of meet people who don't want to work or don't want to do anything or don't care about doing anything, right?
Yeah.
So quick shout out to him. I want to thank you very much for bringing me some treats from your trip that you just got back. And then also this one's a local one, right, that you share.
Yeah, that is Real Thompson's. It started, I think, in the 40s. It's famous. I mean, either you like mint or you don't. I mean,
like
they
mint
have
in my mojitos.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of different products they have, and I like supporting local.
They're Stratford?
They are. They're in Stratford.
What other flavors do they make?
Oh, so many creams.
I gotta check it out.
They make coffee. They where make you, Real Thompson coffee.
Where do you want to begin? Where do you want to start?
Let's start kind of where
I... Did you begin in painting?
No, I didn't.
We're, okay.
So, in my 20s, I was, you
About 5 or 6 years ago?
Yeah, a few. I was painting, or, you know, my ugly, gross apartments because, you know, back, they're all ugly. So I was painting them just kind of for fun. And I started for a company that I did get hired to start painting. But then I worked for someone else who showed me how to mud and tape, tile. Then I got taught how to frame, how to roof, how to insulate, how to do flooring. I was always painting, but I fell in love with renovations. I fell in love. I just wanted knowledge. I wanted tools. Oh my God, I love tools. Oh yeah, don't put me.
I'm trying to figure out, because I like doing this on this show, right? I try to figure out what brand you are, and I don't know, right? Honestly, I don't know, but I'm trying to figure out the brand that you would be associated with, but for some reason, yellow's coming up.
Of course it is.
Okay, that's why.
Yeah, you know, I have these little Makita drills. I think they're 10 volts.
Okay, the smaller ones.
And I use them all the time for when I go on to jobs and you're taking off cover plates because who would want to unscrew with? Yeah, well, why would you use it when you can use a drill and it goes much quicker? It's about efficiency, right?
Yeah.
But most of my tools are all DeWalt because the batteries, you want them interchangeable because every time you buy a new brand, then you have to buy new batteries and batteries are expensive.
It's done by design.
Oh, yeah.
They want that to happen, right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird because in Europe, they have the interchangeable batteries, right? Mm-hmm. In the UK, they're doing that now, which is smart. Yeah. I don't think it, in our lifetime will ever come to Canada or come to North America because they're just so ingrained here.
Oh, yeah.
They just want everybody to buy their batteries,
right? It's big money.
It's the biggest part of the tool.
Yeah.
You know, whenever I started seeing the sales about, the bare tool only. As soon as you add the battery, the price of that tool skyrockets. So it makes no sense, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, I also have, I bought my first Milwaukee tool this summer.
So you're getting a...
Well, I bought it because I was painting out this porch for this older lady. And she spends her whole time sitting on the porch. Good. And, you know, she's
very relaxing.
An older lady. She was a single mom. And she asked me, I was painting something else, so she came across and asked me how much I would charge to do this. And I could tell by the house, she didn't have a lot of money. So, you know, and that's part of how I give back is I always do a bunch of freebies. Mm. So she had an older house with, you know, peeling paint. So I did some of the windows, and on the porch, the spindles were like sagging, like you could see it sagging. So I said to her, listen, as long as you pay for the materials, I'm going to make this secure and nice for you. So the bottom board was rotting, so I ripped it off. I went home, you know, I sized it, I cut it. I got pieces of, you know, the 2x4s, the pressure treated, put it in. The spindles were kind of, you know, flopping around. So I'm like...
Were the spindles okay, though, or were they rotting?
Some of them were rotting, so I did replace some of them with 2x2s.
All right.
And I'm like... I need like a nail gun, but I love battery operated because why would I want to get an extension cord out? So I go to Home Hardware because that's what we have in Stratford. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, I need an excuse to buy a tool because why not? You know? And so I bought this Milwaukee nail gun.
But why not get the DeWalt?
Because I owned the DeWalt before and what a piece of crap that is. Okay. So I do love DeWalt.
Heavy and crap, I know.
So I bought one years ago. It was like $900. And that was when we had the batteries before they were lithium. Okay. So then I got the conversion.
Yeah, they were selling lithium. That little thing.
Doesn't work.
And it
I
made
get
it
one
worse.
Shot.
I know.
And it dies. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to get Milwaukee, but I don't have the batteries. So, you know, I have to buy batteries and I have to buy. But that's okay because now I have a new fancy tool, which I use on many jobs because how many times am I at people's houses and you know everything's MDF now because it's cheap but the baseboards are flopping around and how am I supposed to make this look pretty? So now I have my nail gun, so
just shoot it right in. Have they perfect? I know when they've started launching all the battery powered finishing brad nail guns, they would never set the same time or the same place after you did a bunch of repeat shots, right?
Yeah.
Have they perfected all that? Because that's the one advantage that the pneumatics with the hydraulics, they were able to do no problem. You would always get the same amount of pressure coming out all the time. So I know DeWalt, and that's why it was crappy. First of all, it was heavy.
Yes.
And whenever you got an experienced tradesperson doing the work and they were just like boom, 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 you would see that it was not setting in the exact same spot.
Yeah. Well, what I like about the Milwaukee one is it's got... So it shows you when it's powered, like there's a nice little light, and then there's two settings for angled and straight.
Like this.
Yeah, mine's bigger.
This is just a staple there.
But yeah, I mean, I'm a girl, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm a girl who, you know, likes to feel pretty, get a nice dress on, get my hair done, go out for a nice meal. But you put me in a tool shop, ooh, that.
You're in heaven?
Oh, yes. I mean, there's so many tools I want still. I have tools that are like on my list. Like which one?
What's at the top of the list?
Oh, the Festool. So I have a Festool sander, and it's battery operated, which I love. But it's been a huge debate. So the dustless, I want the MIDI. It's got now Bluetooth is connected. So everything connects. But then I need to...
Bluetooth connectivity for what purpose?
For... so when you put the... So with the hose and you put the different tools on, it connects right away. You can do the stop on your sander versus having to turn it on and off. So
at the vacuum
source. At the vacuum. So with the Festool, because, you know, it's my want... So they're MIDI,
expensive though.
I know.
Even the Merca is expensive. Yep.
And I've looked at the Merca, but Festool has been around for what? Over 100 years
now.
Long
time.
It's German made. It's not like it's being made to break down like tools and appliances are today. It's made. It's good quality. So they got good customer service. So here's the thing. It's $939 plus tax. Yes, I can write it off. But then I have to buy all the other stuff. So, and of course,
in like Apple boxes.
Multiple sanders. But then I want Surf Prep. Have you heard of Surf Prep?
No, what's that?
Okay, it's another sander. Sorry, see, I get excited.
Coming from where? Germany or from America?
It's made in America, but it's a sander and it's got like foam pads. So when you're, so I do cupboards, like kitchen cupboards, I spray them, but you have to prep sand.
Yeah.
And it's got, you know, the grooves sometimes. It's
a little bit of a reveal, yeah.
And the sponge of the sander, like, kind of grooves with it. Now, they do sell the sanding, you know, half-inch pads that you can probably put, like, on a Festool. Because I did just order some from, like, ColorX in Toronto. And so I'm going to try it on.
See, that's where the numbers start climbing with any tool is all the accessory pads. And
so...
It's expensive.
And then you have those tools, but then, because I'm a painter, there's paint sprayers.
And what are you, Titan or Graco?
I'm a Titan.
You're
a
Titan? Oh, started with Titan?
So it's my very first sprayer I ever bought. I no one taught me how to do this. So I kind of did some research. I kind of asked a couple people off Instagram. Because there's a huge painting community on Instagram.
Well, I think every trade, it depends on who it is, but every trade's got their own little...
I kind of follow a whole bunch of people in the trades.
Okay.
Because I can do so much.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, though, but when it comes to the spraying, isn't it not the tip?
It is, but it's also the machine. Like, I bought my Titan 400 7 years ago. It has never broken down. I've never had to have it serviced. Now, when I bought the Graco, the handheld, you know, you put the DeWalt battery in it.
That's a piece of shit.
They're a piece of shit.
I hate it when all the influencers were pushing that, and I tried it once, and I had nothing but negativity to say about it, to the point where I had to spray paint the DeWalt battery blue because I couldn't stand it standing out from the gun. But the gun was crap. It was absolute crap. But then you had all these influencers going, best gun ever for those small little jobs. Here you go. Obviously, you people are not painters. And all you guys are doing is just endorsing a product that you've been paid to endorse.
Well, I love the idea of it because I do a lot of exteriors. I'm crawling up, you know, 30-foot ladders. And I'm doing soffits. So it was great to do the smaller jobs. But the problem is it broke within the first 6 months. So then I had
there was always issues. It was clogging up. You could only
the motor broke. Empty it's up the plastic.
I know.
And so then,
protect your investment one drop at a time. Your home or project deserves the very best when it comes to waterproofing. Trust nothing less than the service that guarantees you peace of mind and lasting protection. Meet Antonio, the expert behind AquaStop Waterproofing. Whether you're a homeowner wanting to keep your basement dry or a contractor in search of a reliable partner, Antonio and his skilled team deliver unparalleled quality and service. From the first site assessment to the final backfill, every detail is handled with precision, ensuring your project is completed on time, on budget, and to the highest standard. Antonio's team doesn't just solve problems, they prevent them. With a proven track record of working with insurance companies, educating clients, and using the best products available, AquaStop Waterproofing offers a solution you can depend on for years to come. Experience the difference with a team committed to excellence. Antonio and AquaStop Waterproofing are your go-to professionals for all things waterproofing. Get in touch with AquaStop Waterproofing today at 647-631-4144 or visit them at www.aquastopwaterproofing.ca. For direct inquiries, email Antonio at antonio@aquastopwaterproofing.ca. Let's make sure your property stays safe and sound, rain or shine. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. Did they ever do a second gen on that?
They now have the quick shot, which I have a lot of painters that love it, but they said it's a different machine. So it's like, you can put it on your hip. It still only holds a quart. You know, they have, it's not. Yeah. So now the Titan, they have this backpack.
A Ghostbuster?
Yeah, I've tried it out. I actually like it.
You're now, putting all the paint in the back?
Yeah, it can hold a gallon and a quart. And you put it on your back. People usually, I think, just hold it. But and then you can spray. But it's made with Bosch batteries. So, and I'm not sure because...
And that's Titans?
That's Titans.
I wonder why... Isn't Titan American?
It is.
Why did Bosch, unless they try to see the same partnership that DeWalt had with Graco.
Which I'm thinking is probably
Maybe Graco's working on something new to introduce with DeWalt crap again.
Yeah.
And I can keep on calling DeWalt crap because they'll never sponsor on this show, so I don't care about it. Right? Bosch has been on the show before and it's fine. And there's other brands like Hilti I have respect for. And Milwaukee Packhouse I have respect for as well, too. Milwaukee makes a crappy miter saw. They don't even make... Well, they have a battery now. Job site.
Yeah, I would buy one of those.
Which I wouldn't touch either.
No, because...
Right?
Now that, I believe in quartz because, like, I had a Bosch miter saw and a Bosch table saw. And I loved it. It was a great machine. And now the new ones, I mean, of course, I would like that as well. I lost those in my divorce, you know. But it happens. You know, I could have lost worse. But the new Bosch ones have... The angle at the back, right? It's more compact.
The Axial Glide.
So it's
that's
not
the
like
one that I prefer.
Yeah, it's.
I prefer the 10-inch one over. I never liked. I gave away the 12.
I had the 12.
The 12 I find is too big.
It is, and it's really heavy. But yeah. I liked it for when I was doing crown molding.
Their battery version was horrible.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't touch that.
Horrible.
Yeah.
That's the one good thing I would say about the DeWalt one. They had their battery version one.
Yeah.
They, as far as I know, are the only ones that have a battery and or plug adapter. So if you want, you can get rid of the batteries, just put on the adapter on and still plug it in.
Yeah, and that's smart.
Which makes sense, right?
Yes.
So all the battery ones should do that.
I agree. Like I have I have a great big DeWalt light and it's all with batteries and I had to buy heavier, like bigger batteries just so that this light, and it's bright, but it doesn't have an option with the plug.
I don't get that. Unless that's a proprietary DeWalt thing or something?
I don't know. Like I just bought a Canon. It's a Canon a couple months ago.
Camera?
Canon. It's a Canon light.
I don't even know what that is.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. ColorX. I mean, ColorX is good with their...
I used to be big on the wobble lights from ProBuilt or whatever. I liked those things until our job site got broken into and then crackheads all stole it. It was the only thing they stole. I had a field day that day. I just asked the police officers to fingerprint the whole place. I just wanted to see that happen. Wow. And that was it. They just told us, listen, you're not going to find anything. We were lucky because the night before we debated, should we pack up everything, get it all ready for the next trade? And we were like, And then we said, let's pack up everything. Let's just leave the lights. It's a good thing we packed up everything because everything would have been stolen by then. Front door was smashed in, garage door was smashed in, side door was smashed in. A regular neighborhood.
You know, and like so the people that are stealing, I mean, they're
$300 light being sold for whatever, 20, 50 bucks, if
for,
that.
For nothing. I mean, they're lowlifes.
I know.
I don't have a lot of respect for people who don't earn their way in life. I mean, you want something, you have to work for it. So
you just describe politicians.
I think because, I mean, to build a business, I mean, it's a lot of work. And it's tough. And I mean, as a woman, I'm a mother. You know, I've had to give up stuff just to get where I am. And I mean, work second jobs that I don't like. And then there's people whining about their life. Well, go get a job and work for it.
Why do you think, Layla, that people are not getting into trades these days? Because I honestly believe they're not getting into trades. Mm-hmm. And then I'll just keep on jabbing at the politicians. They keep on talking about more money and more funding to train more people to get into trades, or train more people that are existing in the trades mm-hmm. to go to a different trade. Mm-hmm. And obviously the politicians don't understand how this works, because once you get into the trade, like you just said, you tried other ones just to see how it is, but you veer right back to painting. Painting is your trade. That's your skill. That's your artistry, right?
Yes.
So for the government to come along and go, Layla, here's a whack of money. Go retrain and be something else. Mm-hmm. That makes no sense. It's a waste of opportunity when you should be focusing on people that actually have an interest to come in here.
Yes.
But I get the sense that a lot of people are not interested in getting into construction, period.
Yeah, and I don't know why, because at the end of the day, I mean, you make a good living. You can make a good living. It's an honest day. You're tired by the end of the day. Like, you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very lucky that, I shouldn't say lucky. I'm happy that I discovered this, because I fell in love with working with my hands. And I mean, when I graduated high school, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I went into a factory for a while, and then eventually I went to school because I knew I was creative. I was great in art, but I didn't know where to put that. So I thought, well, maybe I'll be a teacher. I went to school for 1 year. I hated it. My mind was, because I was like bored. I just couldn't focus on, and I went back into the trades, and I have never looked back.
What did they teach at Teachers College?
Well, no, I was just doing my first year of university.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And majoring in?
Was eventually to become a teacher. So, okay. That was in Vancouver, you know, a few years ago.
No, but then now you build, do you focus mostly on repaints, or are you focusing on new paints as well?
Like new builds?
Yeah.
No, I don't like new builds. I've done them. I don't like the timeline. Because
you're asked to fix everything.
Yeah, and they use cheap paint, and I believe in quality. I don't, you know, why do they plaster ceilings? You know, like that California ceilings.
Oh, the knockdown, the stucco and everything.
Why? Because
it's to hide the deficiencies.
It's to hide the deficiencies.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with the decorative thing.
No, and then why they use flat paint most of the time. So it hides the dings in the walls or the unfinished tape jobs. And I don't like that, you know, suddenly you have to drop everything and you have to be there to start doing this.
You're patching up.
Yeah, I believe in quality. I like doing residential interiors, but I love exteriors. And yes, it's more work. You have to work with our weather, the humidity, the rain, it's too hot. But I get to be outside, and I get to create and protect someone's 100-year-old house.
Yeah, which is nice.
The windows, and it's our mark. It's our artwork, and I can drive down like most tradespeople go. Oh, I did that, right? And it's a sense of pride.
I want to get right into it. So, okay, you tell me who's got the best paints these days.
So I'm biased. Okay, so I'm a Benjamin.
You're not, because the thing is, you've used other people's paints and you've done jobs and you've seen how it reacts and how it finishes. Oh, yeah. So it's not really a bias. It's more factual, right?
I'm a Benjamin Moore girl.
Okay.
fairness to Sherwin Williams, I've never really used their paint because they're not in our town. I love Benjamin Moore. I love the thickness of it. I like the durability of it. I mean,
which particular one? Aura?
No, I don't believe that you need to use Aura unless you really want to.
So what do you use in Regal?
I always use Regal, ScuffX, and Advance. So Advance is a hybrid.
Yep.
And you have to know how to work with it because it can run if you put it on too thick. But I love it for trim doors because it self-levels. So you just need to learn how to work with it. And it's beautiful. It gives a beautiful finish.
Did your reps ever give you an explanation why ScuffX had that little period of time where they changed the formula and it was messing up on everybody's job site?
No, but they did change the formula of Regal.
Did they?
And yeah, they did a year and a half ago. And I won't lie, I don't love it. Because Regal was beautiful. It's just a beautiful
paint.
The
way it finishes.
Yes. But they changed it because whoever decided that, you know, Chantilly lace, which we all know every painter hates.
I can't stand.
Because of all the coats it takes, especially when you're going over dark colors. But Regal has the primer in it, and mm-hmm. It was beautiful. Well, then they changed it to help with those kind of whites, like Simply White, Chantilly Lace, to help cover better. But the problem is that I find is that when I roll, I'm not a heavy roller, heavy edger. It runs. If it's too humid, it'll run.
It was running just on rolling.
It would just run. And I was like, what the hell? Right. So now they've changed the matte finish back to the original, but not the eggshell. So depending now, I will use ScuffX versus Regal, depending on the house, because sometimes I find like I've been in basements where it's kind of humid and the paint will run. Like I switch sleeves because I use 15 mil. I went down to 10 to try and even it out. And I don't like 10 because I like the coverage of a 15.
It's too, I think 10's too thin.
It is.
You don't even get a full roll off of a 10, right? That's the problem. And how many more times do you want to get back onto?
Yeah.
I never got into the early days. I never got into the spray adapted poles and that whole injector, never have to go back to the pan kind of thing. I never got into that whole, I always felt that they were gimmicks.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Did they work for you? Are you doing it? Or are you still going pan roll?
No, I mean, I still use my pans and I roll. And I mean, if I can spray, I'll spray more because it's about efficiency and finish for me. But you can't always do that on interiors. Unless nobody's living in the house, then I can, you know, if no one's living in the house, there's no furniture.
That's a good reason to kick out the clients, right?
I mean, those are my favorite when no one's there. Especially
are you guys spraying? You're going to be spraying? Yeah, we're going to spray. Well, we can't be in here, correct?
Yeah. Well, and it depends on what you're doing, right? Like if I'm doing ceilings or popcorn ceilings, right? Of course, spraying makes more sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
And I mean, trim, depending on what I'm doing, I do a lot of cupboard repaints. So I have a spray booth in my basement. So I go take their cupboard doors, you know, bring them home. So when I work my 8 hours or 10 hours, whatever I'm doing that day.
You break down all the doors and bring it in. And
I then after. Part-time. Yeah, it's kind of my side hustle. Mm-hmm. Because then at nighttime or early morning, I'm getting up and then I'm prepping and then I'm spraying my doors.
What are you
doors.
Using for the spraying of the cupboards?
Oh, that's a different paint. So my favorite paint that I come along to discover is Renner. Renner.
I've never... Yeah. Were they based American?
I think they're an Italian paint, but don't quote me if I'm wrong. But...
I got to look this up.
Okay so good you paint? Can... It's like butter. It is such a beautiful finish. So, I mean, Renner. I've tried a lot of different paints. So... When I started, you know, doing cupboards back in the day, you know, I was rolling them. And, you know, they promote Advance for Benjamin Moore. I don't like it because it takes 30 days to cure. So you put them back on because everybody wants their doors back on within a week.
You nick it,
and then I'm going back to touch it up. So then I thought, okay, well, what about putting a clear coat over it to try and make it stronger? But that wasn't working. So then I went to different manufacturers who, you know, mix the paint up for new builds, like for new cupboards.
Okay.
And I was doing that, but that became a pain because then I, you know, had to get them from Kitchener, which, yeah, it's only half an hour, but my day is limited because I don't have employees. So I was either having to get someone to pick it up for me or I had to go out of town to get it.
Uber?
Yeah, it's all about expense, you know, your breakdown. Yeah. And, but then they would not be ready or the paint was not what I wanted it to be. So then I started trying to figure out a new solution because I'm trying to give a good finish, a good quality so that people don't have to, you know, repaint in another 5 years their kitchen cupboards. So I came across on Instagram this Renner
paint. I gotta check that out.
And I started looking into it and found out that I could get it here in Toronto. They delivered, but I just got another, someone else said they're carrying Renner out of London, so I could have my options, and they deliver it. So there's stuff where you can mix it to make it harder. I haven't gotten into that yet. I'm using, it's latex base, but you have to prime it out twice, right? And then you spray.
For the finish.
Yes, and then you spray the top coat twice.
A home built on trust, crafted with care. Your home is more than just a structure. It's where memories are made, where your family grows, and where you find comfort. That's why your renovation or building project deserves nothing less than the utmost care and quality. Because it's not just about creating a space, it's about creating a place where life happens. Tim, the heart and soul behind Ravine View Construction, understands that your home is personal, and whether you want to be involved in every detail or prefer to leave it in the hands of a trusted expert, he and his team are here to make your vision a reality. At Ravine View Construction, every project is handled with the passion it deserves, from the initial site assessment to the final touches that turn a house into a home. Tim's team doesn't just build, they protect what matters most. With a reputation built on trust, excellence, and a commitment to using only the best materials, Ravine View Construction ensures that your home isn't just beautiful, it's built to last. Tim and his team work alongside the finest tradespeople, guiding you through every step so you always feel confident and cared for. Let them help you create a space where you can enjoy peace of mind and cherish moments with those you love for years to come. Connect with Ravine View Construction today at 416-671-0170 or visit them at www.rvchomes.ca. For direct inquiries, email Tim at info@rvchomes.ca. Let them build not just a house, but a home filled with lasting memories. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. All the painters I've ever worked with in new builds on projects that I've done, they've always primed two coats.
Yes.
Just, I wanted a solid white. I didn't want a bleed white. I wanted a solid white. And that way I knew for sure we could start putting on the color and then we won't have any issues because we're going to still put two coats of color. And then I'm good with that. I never wanted to believe in, I never understood the pink turning into white. I never understood all these consumer-based things. And I know that it all came from HGTV, DIY, everybody can be a painter. Everybody can be a painter. Yes. If you're at home, you can be a painter. And I'm like, you're wrong. Yeah. You're 100% wrong.
Everybody can paint.
Yeah. And there's a lot of, and we all know prep is paint. That's what it is. So if you don't know what the base is, then you don't know what the finish is going to be like.
Well, and for you to achieve a good finish, it's all about prep. It's all about prep. You need to sand your walls. You need to buy the proper sleeves. Because you buy, like I buy lint-free sleeves. You buy one that you don't, then you're going to have to put tape on it to try and get it off.
I thought
you
all see the painters cool kids on social media, they just put tape on it just to make it look good. And I'm like,
I don't know. I buy the lint free so I don't have issues. I mean, I'm always picking. I do pick stuff out. You need to sand. You need to sand your walls before, in between. One, it helps for the paint to, stick better.
Yeah.
And then you also want, I mean, because sometimes the paint, even though you've gotten it from a paint store, there's clumps in it. And not everybody strains it. Like, yes, we should be putting it through a strainer, but we don't always do that. So, you know, you sand, you get the gunks, you're getting a nice finish, right? And you have to use proper tools. You have to, I'm about because I'm about a quality finish, I want to treat every home like it's mine. And that's how I look at every project. I don't do these cheap go in and slap wall on an apartment just to get
paint
the next
in a
person.
Day. What is it? Those are companies
well,
there?
Yeah, wow painting.
Is it wow painting? Yeah. I saw them one time on a job site. Mm-hmm. They were on the site. They weren't there for a day. They were there for a week.
Yeah.
There was no paint in a day going on that one, right? And it was a whole caravan of people coming in and out of that house. I don't know if there was like each room that they're painting, and it just kept on escalating on how many rooms they wanted to paint.
Yeah.
But I definitely think that it was taking longer than a day.
Well, it's kind of like, and I understand the idea of student painters. I mean, it's a,
they're
it's
still
a
around.
Really, yes.
They're still
I think
around.
They call something at a, something else now, student works.
You imagine hiring a student painter today?
People
with the
do.
Pool of stools, students that are out there?
People do. And and then, I mean, because they want to save money. But what they're doing is compromising the project because these kids don't know. They're not really getting proper training. I mean, I have over 20 years of painting experience, and I'm still learning.
They think painting is brush and a roller.
That's a lot of people
and,
think
and
it is.
And if we can, we'll put a drop cloth down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Pick up the ashes from the cigarette.
Yeah.
That's what it's for, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I understand. I'll never hire student painters. It doesn't make any sense to me. No. It's quick money.
Yes.
I get it. The franchise is quick money, but it's just, do you get, what's your go-to brush? I know you have some brushes here, but what's your go-to brush?
Well, right now I'm loving, but you can't get it in Canada. It's arrow worthy.
Why can't you get it in Canada?
Because right now, I don't know. They only do it in the US and in the UK. So when I was over in England.
You pick them up?
Yeah, guess how many brushes I came home with?
A dozen or so, maybe two dozen?
No, I came home with nine.
Okay.
So this one is a paint warrior. I've never used it. I went to three paint stores in England to...
What makes them so good?
So, I mean, because I haven't used this, I don't know. But they're oval. The bristles.
Which is nice for cutting.
See the overs? And it's firm, but it's soft. And they're longer. And then, so I got introduced to Arrowworthy when I was at a paint festival this past year called Pretty Boy. And it's, Pretty Boy is...
A paint festival called Pretty Boy.
So this gentleman named Brian.
Okay.
He owns Pretty Boy products. And it's a solution. It's like a soap. And it's just come into Canada more now.
Out of the U.S.?
Yep. And he's got it in the UK too. So it's a soap that is a conditioner for your brushes. You can use it. So if you drop paint on the floor, I mean, we wipe it up. But sometimes you miss it, right? Mm-hmm. Or it's leaked through something and it's dried there for a few days. You can put this cleaner, like it's a soap, right on it. And then you start scrubbing. It's going to come off.
Really?
Yeah. And it's environmental. It's about, I think, $12, $13 for a bottle, but it's like magic. I order it all the time.
I'm going to check that out.
So anyways, he started these, it's called Pretty Boy Paint Festival. So I think it was a bunch of guys that used to do it kind of like in their backyards and stuff. Well, last year, they did it at a park in Albany, New York. And I saw it and I wasn't sure I wanted to go, you know, it's a bit of drive. So I went. And
it was good.
It was so amazing to meet other painters. I have formed some really good friendships from it now. I mean, my friend Ronnie, she lives in North Carolina. I met her. There was only three of us women there.
How many people attended?
I don't know. Probably about 100, maybe
only
more.
Only three? Really?
Yeah. So, and we were the first women to ever attend this. Like, you could bring your families and stuff. They made it open. And I met Christina and Ronnie. Hmm. So, Christina, I think she's from Philadelphia. And she does a lot of wallpapering, which I don't do. And then Ronnie, she's more of someone who, you know, does renovations and painting. And we talk every week now. And like when I was in the UK, I called her from there because I missed her. Yeah. Because we talk and we can talk about our lives, our, you know, our businesses. And I've met So when I went to the UK to take my daughter, I put a little video out and said, hey, I'm coming to the UK. Does anybody want to meet up? So two women from there came in to London to meet me. And one girl, her name is Jennifer Gardner. She's a decorator over there. I think she's been doing this for over 10 years. Her and her daughter came and met me and my daughter and with my son. And we went on this boat cruise down whatever the river is in London.
Thames?
To Greenwich. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And, you know, and it's been great. Like, she's invited me to come back and stay with her. She's, that's the community, like the community of the paint.
The trade, the people.
Yeah, the trade. I mean, we support each other. We, you just, we've built some really good friendships.
What, I'm just assuming in the UK, Farrow and Ball?
It is, but they use.
Is Benny Moore as good there? As
they said it's really expensive there. So they use a lot of the Dulux, but they said it's not like the Dulux here, because the Dulux here is
Dulux is owned by PPG.
Yeah, and I don't like Dulux here.
And PPG is American, right?
Yeah.
And they're over there, and it not is. As much as Benny. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I just figure a lot of UK people would be mostly Farrow and Ball.
No, I don't think. Like, I think it's like here, right? People, some of the designers, they like to use. I don't like Farrow and Ball.
I'm not a fan of Farrow and Ball. No. I know a lot of designers live by Farrow and Ball.
I think it's the prestige.
It's the prestige. That's exactly it. And I'm like, I don't think, I always love that statement that designers will always share with you that I've used this on this job. Mm-hmm. And I always ask them, I go, you physically, you actually rolled it, you prepped it, mm-hmm. you did. No. I used it, I spec'd it on this job. Mm-hmm. But then you didn't use it. So I don't understand why you're saying that you did it.
I know. But
they got nice colors. That's the extent of it.
I mean,
but they're thin.
And I don't like the way it rolls.
Yeah.
I think back in the day, it was like clay based. And it's not.
I don't know enough of the history.
I don't know enough.
I just assume that the formula has changed over time because they needed to compete with the masses, right? Mm-hmm. And there's no way that they're going to still do the old school way, which I think is what they should be doing.
Yeah.
I do like their color palette, mm-hmm. right? And I've copied it, I've matched it, and it's actually been pretty good despite what they say that you're not allowed to or whatever. And I'm like, listen, we're all friends, and I can go to a guy to do the mixing and match it, and they'll do it, and it'll turn out just as good, right?
Yep.
Is it worth the money when I'm told that none of them have any kind of protection on them, that doesn't matter at what point they cure, that they will still scratch and mar and all this other stuff? I'm like, you lost me now.
Yeah,
I need paint to be a little bit more durable than that, right?
When it's 150 a gallon. Some of it. Like, I just used
it. If it's for museums, sure. Nobody's touching the walls. Yeah. Sure. But if you got kids or pets.
No. You need durability. And I don't. People will say to me, oh, we don't touch the walls. Going down. Everybody touches the walls. I don't know why, but we just do.
Touches walls. Yes. Everybody does.
So you need something that's durable that you can wash. And the paint isn't going to, you know, go down to the primer or whatever was under there.
Yeah, and then I'm trying to figure out what other paints are there on the market these days. I don't know.
So you have
the go-tos. Benjamin Moore, you got Dulux, you got Farrow and Ball, you got Sherwin-Williams. But Sherwin-Williams has been around for a long time, like 100 plus years, right? Isn't it like 150 years?
They have a pretty good business. Like, I will go there to get some of my paint supplies. We don't have one in Stratford. So we have Dulux.
That's a shame. That's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, so we have Dulux. We have Benjamin Moore. We got Home Hardware paint, Canadian Tire paint, right?
Oh, the Butte. No, not Beauty Tone. Beauty Tone is Home Hardware. Matt, yeah. What's Canadian Tire's paint?
I don't know. I just know that I've had. I turn jobs down when clients want to, because they've bought it. It's crap. It's watery. Ugh. Yeah, I won't. I've gotten to a point where my business is where I can be picky about the project.
Well, because you're bringing your experience, right?
Yes.
So the client is hiring you to get the education.
Yes.
Not to be hiring you just to be the monkey with a brush and a roller and then you take care of the work. No, that's not the purpose of it, right?
No.
I'm assuming in Stratford, more people are at least bold enough to use color, or are they still living in Chantilly Lace Cloud White Land?
No, I mean, it went from, I remember a time it was all like brown and beiges, and then it kind of transitioned into the grays.
Grayish.
And then it started to go grayish. And then it was white for like 2 years white.
I hate white.
And now it's, I mean, people still do grays, but I'm getting more color, which is nice. You know, I'm getting more greens are starting to really trend again.
What about the finishes? Are they starting to, like, I am a fan of bold, glossy finishes.
Okay.
But whatever you're doing has to warrant it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no point in just doing a flat drywall wall with glossy. There's no reason for it. But if you got paneling, you're doing, and you're trying to get that, like I just dipped it in a vat of color and it just pulled it out and it looks like it's dripping wet.
Yeah.
That's what I'm a fan of. If you can do woodworking that way, that would look beautiful.
Like I go between semi-gloss and pearl finish because some people, you know, some people still just want to do like flatter eggshell on the trim or the doors. And I'm like,
that
no.
makes no sense to me.
Because I don't care if they say it's washing. It's not dirt. Durable enough for things that you were touching all the time. I mean, we all, you know, you hit your baseboard with your vacuum cleaner.
Or your Swifter, whatever.
Your Swifter, or, you know, you have dogs that are hitting it. You need something durable. So the in-between is pearl because you got matte eggshell. So in-between.
Is pearl...
It's a little less shine. It's
less shine than satin or the other way around?
I think they're about the same, the satin and the pearl.
Okay.
Roughly... Because you have eggshell, which that we usually put on walls. Like you put flat on ceilings, eggshell on walls, and then trim and doors, you're between pearl, semi-gloss. I haven't had, the only time I do gloss is like maybe a front door, like on the exterior.
Yeah, when you actually, but then at that point you're doing like factory lacquer. You start, throw it in a booth or something like that. And like it's a car. You're doing it as a car.
Yes.
That's what you're doing.
Because there's some pretty fancy paints out there that, I mean, are... I've seen, was it Fine Paints of Europe or something? Like they said it's a process. And they it's like a mirror effect. It looks beautiful online.
What happens when you nick it?
I don't know.
That's what I mean. It looks beautiful that moment there. Consider expert plumbing and drains. When it comes to plumbing, you need someone who's not just skilled, but truly cares about the job they do. Someone like Aaron Bolin and his team at Expert Plumbing and Drains. Aaron has been in the trade for years, and he's built his reputation on one thing, commitment. Commitment to his craft, his crew, and most importantly to you, the client. At Expert Plumbing and Drains, it's not just fixing pipes. It's about delivering the best possible service every single time on every single project. So whether you're dealing with a leaky faucet, a stubborn drain, or planning a full plumbing overhaul, Aaron and his team are ready to tackle it all with skill, integrity, and a passion for excellence. Need help now? Call Expert Plumbing and Drains at 905-531-4111. That's 905-531-4111. Or visit them at www.expertplumbinganddrains.com and on social media at Expert Plumbing and Drains Canada. Experience the difference of working with a team that's dedicated to getting the job done right. Because at Expert Plumbing and Drains, your satisfaction is their top priority. You can also email Aaron directly at aaron@expertplumbinganddrains.com. Expert Plumbing and Drains, where expertise meets care. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Yeah.
Like someone was sharing a video and they were putting a bead of black caulk at the bottom of a white baseboard to red oak floor. And there was a dark wood trim detail about 3-4 inches away from the baseboard.
Yeah.
And they were asking my opinion about what do you think of that one little bead, clean bead, at the base of a white baseboard. And I said, I got a problem with how it's going to look a year from now. Mm-hmm. It looks great right now because it's just been installed.
Yeah.
But I have a problem with it. It reminded me of painters not using the corner as a cut line. Mm-hmm. They're starting to go a little bit away from the corner because they don't want to deal with that inside corner possibly bleeding or ripping out if you put too much paint or whatever. So now you've got this guy putting a 1/4-inch bead of black. And I'm like, it looks great now, but it's going to be, I think, terrible in about a year.
I think I saw a video similar to that because I saw like it was a flooring one where they had this detail of the flooring, say, going this way. And then they made it an accent.
Yeah.
And I mean, I appreciate the time it took to do this, but I, as a person, wouldn't want it because I want everything to flow properly.
The white of the base has to finish at the start of the wood.
Yes.
That's what it has to do, right?
And stuff moves. So
that's what I mean. And then when you're cleaning and whatever, let's say you get a spill, you start using some detergents to clean it, it's going to start to affect that caulking, and all of a sudden you're starting to get that separation, and now it's going to look like crap. That's what I have a problem with. I mean, start showing me a year from now. I want to see what it looks like a year from now. That's what I want to see.
Well, like the caulking I use, which I actually do get from Dulux, it's flexible. I don't know what it's called. It's more expensive, but it flexes.
Okay.
So it can take movement, and it does. It dries in like 90 minutes. So, I mean, I used to be, you know, when I started out, I used the DAP.
Mm-hmm. Everybody was using DAP, I know.
But I did a job once, and it was this beautiful house, and they put crown molding, wood crown molding on everywhere. So, you know, I caulked everything before we, you know, after priming it. Well, it was during the summer. So then in September, October, they turned the heat on. Everything cracked. Everything cracked. And, you know, that's on me. So I had to go back and re-caulk it. Plus, then you're, you know, paint touching up as well.
But wait, how is it on you?
Because it was my product that I chose. So when it cracked, I take responsibility. I know,
but their house is what moved, and their house was not humidity wise level correctly,
I guess. But I took it as, so I just went and redid it. I took it as a loss, redid it, made the people happy, less issues, move on to the next. I mean, it sucked, but that's when I started figuring out a new caulking. And I've come across this, and years later, it's not cracking.
I don't know any painter that I would trust to do a job for me that would walk in with a case of DAP. I'd be questioning it. If that's the first thing they pull off the truck, van, or whatever their vehicle is, I'd be like, I don't understand that. Why are you using that? That's like the least.
Well, I think they just, whoever taught them, or
it was a go-to.
It was their go-to, and they just don't have the knowledge. Like, I'm always searching to better my business, better products, what makes it more efficient, because efficiency and skilled are,
well, this profitability,
it is. I mean, the I quote my jobs. I don't, because I'm self-taught, I go in and I'll look at a room and say, okay, how long is this going to take me, what's my products, what I'm going to use, and I'll do up my quote. A lot of people can do by square footage. I wasn't taught how to paint, so this is how I work. So I can...
Square footage price doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, but some people do it off, like they charge by the square foot. Me, I just go in. I mean, and because I've been doing it for so long now, I just know how to quote. I very rarely quote wrong.
What are you using for wood filler? What product do you like?
Well, I have a couple. So I have SPAC. You know, like spackle. Is it spackle? DAP, the pink stuff. The DAP pink.
Oh, Dridex.
Dridex.
Yeah.
But I also use, it's Bondo.
Yeah, red.
Yes, because I've been doing that since I got taught that from an old carpenter.
I started with Dridex too, but I started noticing that it would shrink a lot.
Yes, and so you're having to do a second
coat. Yeah, and that's what it is. And then I started paying attention to some painters, and then they started building the little Close Encounters mountain over each of the nail heads, right? And then they would let that sit, and then they would sand it, and now you wouldn't have the concave and the cracking going in there, right? I was using the Australian Timbermate, which is great, but it smelled like Bengay. It had a really weird medicinal smell to it.
Okay.
And then you're handling with your finger all day. So even if you clean, wash up, go home, you're having dinner, you're like, yeah, I'm smelling sirloin and Bengay. That's what I'm smelling right now. You know what I mean? Yeah. So then I was like, I don't want to use it. And it dried out fast. Okay. So if you didn't use the whole container at the same time, it was wasted at that point.
I mean, I like the Bondo.
Yeah.
I mean, because... I mean, it dries, as long as you know how to put it on, so you're not, like, sanding.
You got to put it on, it's almost kind of like using Durabond 90.
Yes.
You got to put it on correctly, that it's the easiest way to sand it afterwards, right?
Yes, and light coats, so.
And then work light-wise, what are you using to find all the defects and the spotlight kind of stuff? It's like, it's almost like painters these days are doing the album cover of Rattle and Hum, right?
Well, it's kind of like when I was... learn how to tape and my drywall. Like, I used to have, like, this little light that I would go, because I'm a bit of a perfectionist, you know, and I'd be marking it out and, you know. So now a lot of the lights, I mean, because I'm so close to the walls, I can see it. And I have, like, my DeWalt, my Canon light. So I, and they're LEDs, so they're brighter.
I'm surprised that nobody's really designed a light that just clips on everything. So then when you're, it's on your putty knife when you're putting. It's on your sanding spudge when you're sanding.
Yeah.
It's on everything now. I'm surprised that nobody's invented that.
When it's hard sometimes, because you go into houses and I mean, I see it all, right? Like, you just do. And I'm constantly, you know, patching. And then I'm like, where do you start? Where do you, you know, stop?
Because I hate seeing all the butt joints. I hate seeing all the tape joints. I hate seeing all the nail heads. I hate seeing all that because I know that it was just done just to the bare minimum.
Yes.
And then I want to start seeing more people, clients, understanding the value of just skim coating the whole wall.
Oh, yeah.
And doing that. So now we have, you know, we go back to the old school way of lath and plaster where that's how it was done. Yeah. So you never saw any of the joints. And now you can paint this whole surface and everything's going to be equal.
Yeah.
And but I know it's efficient.
Pretty nice skimming blades now.
Oh yeah, the,
and I the tomahawks them and everything like that. They're beautiful. So beautiful.
Yeah, until you nick one.
Oh, see, my trowels are like with the handle. It's I bought them 20 years ago from a drywall store up in Kingston.
Okay.
So I don't know how to use the knives. I know how to use the trowels, and I mean skimming. I mean it's an art. I mean the guys who did lath and plaster. I mean that's an art. And I love lath and plaster still because I think it's a great noise barrier.
I agree.
And you can hang a picture anywhere. Yes, it may go.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can still hang it. You put it in drywall, then you're looking at, you know, you have to put plugs in.
Yeah, the anchors.
It doesn't mean it's always going to hold well.
It depends on what you're putting up there. If it's a big something, a heavy, whatever, you just got. Every plug's not the same way.
No, it's not.
Right. But then that's let the client, they'll damage that and figure it out from that point.
Yeah.
But what else is there? So it's like, okay, but do you ever, you get clients ever asking you to do full finishing? Have you gotten into that whole world?
I did back in the day.
Okay.
Yeah. And back in the day, I used to do full finishes, you know, with rags, sponges. What is it? The brushes used to make, you know, the brush line.
Yeah. The but, rollers that left the pattern and yeah, I get it.
But I don't do, I mean, I don't get asked to do that anymore.
Are people coming back for wallpaper a lot more these days?
I see it's huge in the States. People will still ask me here and there, but I don't know how to wallpaper. I mean, I tried once. I didn't like it. I know how to take it off real well. And then, I mean, you're taking off and then you're skimming walls.
I don't have the patience for wallpaper installing. I've done it so many times. I just don't have the patience for it.
Yeah.
I get extremely frustrated. And then I get very OCD to the point where I know this pattern is not correct.
Yes.
Like this was a millimeter off somehow. Yes. And that's why this is not lining up or whatever happened. It's not my walls off or something like that. You don't have enough forgiveness in some of these patterns, right? Yeah. And then you get people who go like, no, we want wallpaper. And I'm like, I got to hire somebody. And then they give me a price.
Yes.
And I understand that price, but the client never understands that price. They don't. But if you want wallpaper installed, you need to install it properly.
Yes.
Which and is you patience.
Need a and you need a professional for that. Yeah. I remember I had one wall in my old house and I couldn't find anyone in Stratford. I had to pay someone to come from Kitchener just to do one wall.
I don't doubt it.
But I mean, this wallpaper, of course, I chose, I think it came from Germany, and I wanted it done properly because I didn't want to attempt it because I know that it's not my area.
Attention homeowners and businesses. Are you looking for top-notch electrical contracting services you can trust? Consider the expert tradesperson behind Effect Electric LTD. They take pride in delivering quality, service, and professional installation on time and on budget. From Kohler generators to main service upgrades or network data installation, they do it all. With years of experience and a commitment to excellence, Carlo and his team at Effect Electric LTD are your go-to professionals for all your electrical and generator needs. Effect Electric LTD is an authorized Kohler home energy generator dealer. Kohler has air-cooled 26 RCA units, the quietest, the most powerful, and exceptionally durable generator with 109 amps max power on liquid propane. Custom color options, camouflage options, and every generator Kohler makes is built to last and is equipped with a commercial-grade engine. Call Effect Electric LTD today at 416-508-7725 or visit them at effectelectricltd.kohlergeneratordealer.com. Let's build something great together. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. What's your favorite room to paint?
Room? Well, it's definitely not the bathroom.
No.
It's a pain. Or a closet.
Bedrooms?
Well, my favorite really is when there's no furniture in the way. But, I mean, rooms to me are all rooms. It's painting them. I like to paint stuff that is accent. Like, I like old trim. I like, you know, I want to show the beauty of it. And a lot of these times, I mean, they're very old. They haven't been sanded, you know. I want to bring the natural beauty back.
I respect clients that understand the value of painting a room for the purpose of the room.
Yes.
And I say that either speaking daylight or artificial light.
Yeah.
Because the same color you choose will look differently in those two scenarios.
Yes.
It'll look a certain way in the morning when the sun is rising, and it'll look a certain way in the evening when the sun is setting.
Yes.
And so clients need to understand the value of what that room is designed for.
Yes.
And the paint needs to reflect that. To go into a project and just like have a designer or a client just say, Chantilly lace the whole thing and different sheens on it. Then obviously you're a stupid client and you don't understand the value of each room.
Yeah.
Especially the bedrooms. The bedrooms need to be... You have to take your time on what color you want in that room.
Because I think you want a room, I mean, you're sleeping there. You want something calm. You're not going to paint it like a bright red or, I mean, pink. They were pink.
Well, I bet there's kids or...
For children, yes. Yeah, it could be for children. You don't want something so like... You want it to be a calm. This is a place where you need to sleep. You need to rest.
Yeah, but everybody thinks Chantilly lace and cloud white is calmness. And I'm like, it's not. That's not...
I mean, it's hard because I paint colors all day long. So I will, one day I'm like, oh, I love this color. I want to go home and use it, right? Oh, let's paint this. Or let's go get a piece of furniture. Yeah, because
now you get to see it on the wall and see how natural daylight looks like it. And also same with the lights, right?
But like where I am, like my front porch, even though it's facing the way where I get the sun, because my front porch is such overhang, my room is dark. So it matters about the light. Like right now, like I have a classic gray. So it's calming because it works, and it works with like my furniture. But I always think like I can go in and like I love pillows, you know, like pretty pillows. And I will go in and see like a color and go, ooh, I love it. But it needs to flow with everything else.
I agree. The new fight that I've got going on right now, which is starting to happen between DMs, and because I'm going to start sharing this, is that the hatred I have towards LED light.
Okay.
I have a massive hatred towards LED light. I always liked incandescent light.
Yes.
I always liked the warmthness of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think every home should be warmer than colder.
Oh, yeah.
I've always felt it doesn't matter if you started giving me a lumen count or even a temperature count on an LED light.
Mm-hmm.
I can take, you know, a temperature reading on an LED light that's whatever, 2800 or something, and compare it to an incandescent light that's 2800.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's still colder and it has an unsettling look on it, and especially when it gets cascaded onto a color in a room.
I want
to go right back to incandescent lights. I don't want to deal with LEDs anymore. The unfortunate thing is the whole market's LED.
Yes. And I mean, light affects a room.
Don't even talk to me about the climate change, green, all this other crap, right? I can't stand. I love that the government was pushing us on CFLs, and we all know the history of CFLs now. And it was in my first year of construction that I actually read the back of a CFL packaging.
Okay.
Where it needs to be discarded the same way that you would discard any kind of asbestos material. Yep. It has to be wrapped and hazmat and put in a safe bag.
Yep.
And I'm like, you didn't tell anybody, the public, any of this stuff. And now this is the same thing going on with LED lighting. Mm-hmm. And so you don't want to have LED lighting, especially in your sleeping quarters, because it affects on the color and everything.
Yeah.
So.
And I always think, like, paint is, by painting, it is the cheapest, really, the cheap, one of the cheapest form of renovation. It can make you happy. It can, you know, depending on the color you choose, you know, it can make you happy. It can make you feel calm. I mean, it's what you want out of your space, but you have to be aware of the light coming in because it changes the look and the feel of the room.
So when you got started, how many women were painting in the business versus how many men were painting in the business compared to what it is today?
I think today it's a lot different. Now, I started, yes, I was painting, but I started in renovations, right?
Yeah.
In the trades and construction. And it was me. I mean, I had a lot of determination, and I mean, I have that drive in me to always want to keep learning. And I mean, the men were brutal. I mean, in my 20s, I used to go home and cry because they would say, you know, what are you doing here on this job site? You should be at home cleaning your kitchen, or, you know, cleaning the dishes.
These were other trades?
These were, yes. And they were men.
Yeah.
And, but they were older men. Now, today, I find, because it's a different generation, the men coming up, they're more accepting. And I mean, there's a lot of great, groups, like women groups of supporting women, like, and I think it's better what it is today than what it was back then. But I mean, for me, I just, you know, when they'd say you shouldn't be here, or you're not doing it right, or you know, they were mean. And then I was in my 20s. So, I mean, I'd go home and cry. But what it did was just make me stronger, make me more determined to say, I can do this.
Do you still see it today?
No.
Because you're not dealing. So I guess back then you would have been in your 20s, and this would have been what, like 40 or 50 year old trades that were talking this shit?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, my father's a carpenter. So, I mean, he didn't teach me anything. I mean, I remember my first apartment, I think I was 21, and he came over and hung my blinds for me. I mean, I didn't know anything back then because I had never showed an interest in it. And I mean, when he said, oh, you know, like he's very proud of where I am. My parents are both very proud because, you know, my mom used to say to me, Layla, maybe you should get a job. You have no pension. Because she worked in the government, for the government, you know. And I'm like, no, I love what I do. Not only do I love my job, which is like my baby, I have two children. And it has allowed me to, you know, drop my kids off at school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they have a sick day, I'm there for them. You know,
how old
I can
are the
take
kids?
It. So my daughter's 20. She'll be 21 next week. And my son just turned 12.
And then is she interested in getting into trades?
No. Oh. She's in school to do business, so economics and finance. And she's going to do well.
It's a great primer for trades.
Yeah, I mean, she has no interest in that. Now, my son, I mean, he comes and he'll help me here and there. I mean, I've been trying to teach him stuff. In the summertime, I don't always put him in camps. So I'll have him, you know, come with me for a day I'm going to paint or stain a fence. So I'll get like the little roller out. I'll bring a blanket with snacks and, you know, an iPad or something so he can at least play, you know, some games.
But then he'll get stain all over the iPad.
No, that's that section. And then I'll let him have like the one of those little mini rollers and I'll put gloves on him. And that day I'm putting him in clothes that I don't care if they get wrecked. And he'll come over and help roll a couple of the slats. Now I'll go back and, of course, you know,
of course,
fix
touch it up.
But it's just showing, I want him to know how to do stuff as well. Now, my daughter, I mean, I tried. She said, Mom, I'm not built for physical labor. But my son, I mean, I need him to be able to learn stuff, not only just in trades. I want him to know how to cook. I want him to know how to sew a button on. I mean, I don't want him to be a useless human being in this world.
I've never verbally, I've had plenty of clients.
Yes.
That have asked me to do some things that are completely stupid.
Yes.
And I just can't believe that they don't know how to do it.
Yes.
So then I'll just do it.
Yes.
But I wish somebody would videotape me, because I'm pretty sure the level of stupidity that's coming from this client, yeah, that they're not able to do this, that I have to do it for them.
Yes.
It's got to be written all over my face.
Yes.
And I'm talking about like hang a picture.
Oh yeah. There's many people.
Like and men and women.
Oh, both.
Right. And I'm just like rattling my head, because I think every tradesperson I know, when we do eventually get to the task at home, mm-hmm, you know, we'll fix it and we'll fix it proudly, and it will last a long time.
Yeah.
And the majority of this generation of clients that, you know, hire us to do certain things, they don't know how to do any of this stuff.
And I think
that's scary.
And I think it's like maybe not just my generation, maybe like a generation above me. They didn't teach their kids, because what we started doing was babying our kids. And I won't lie, I mean, I do. I baby the kids sometimes. But at the same time, I don't want them to get out in this world and not know how to do some basic stuff. And parents have stopped. So I get clients, like men who are in their 30s, who don't own a drill. You know, they don't own a hammer.
What's worse, not owning a drill or owning a Ryobi?
That's like buying a Mastercraft. But, you know, they just, and they don't know how to do anything, and they pay everybody
I
to
know,
do something.
I know, and I don't get it.
No.
The light bulb's out in the microwave. Can you fix that for me?
Yeah. Like, so we've done an injustice for these kids now, because they don't know how to do anything. And I mean, yeah, it's great for us as professionals. You know, we go in, we do a good job for them. But when did parents stop teaching their kids stuff? Like, why has this happened? That this,
I had a parent in here recently. I told her that the kids should just be dropped off in the woods and let them fend for themselves for a week. Yeah. I'm not a parent, right? So I just, yeah, like, I think that would be a good little exercise there. See what would happen.
Yeah, I'd
see
be.
How many would survive back. I don't know, right?
Yeah. As a mother, you know, I'm like, but at the same time, you know, I my daughter, I don't worry about it. She's 21 or almost 21. I mean, I put her in a lot of classes and she wanted to learn. And, I mean, she knows how to cook. She knows how to sew.
Good.
She knows how to, I mean, I put her in art. I put her in golf. I tried to do a range. My son, he's not sports oriented at all, but he does rock climbing. And not every kid,
sport.
Yeah, and not every kid has to do, you know, play soccer. And
I can't stand sports.
No, and I'm not going to push him into it.
Yeah.
But I still need to teach him how to do stuff. I mean, he started cutting the grass last year. And, I mean, he doesn't do it all the time, but he's doing it.
It's better than selling it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, we just, like I said, I want him to whatever he decides to do someday, I want him to get out in this world and know how to cook more than craft dinner. You know,
I guess just because the whole industry, you've got the older generation getting out.
Yeah.
They're really not inviting women to come into the industry. But I also think that they're not really inviting the younger men to come into this industry, too.
No,
which is so like you guys need to get out, not the ones that are trying to get in. You guys need to get out.
Yeah.
And we need to figure it out. But I also think that the government just needs to leave the construction industry alone.
Yeah.
We are fine on our own. We will survive. If you leave us in the woods, we'll figure it out. Trust us.
Well, I got asked to go speak to a bunch of, I think they're young girls who are maybe interested in the trades. I'm going in April. It's my first time going. I'm sitting up with a bunch of other women's because, one, I own my own business and I started with knowing nothing. And two, I'm a painter and I also have different trades under me. So I get to sit up and I guess I got to talk a little bit of where I started and then the girls can ask me questions. And I mean, I feel really honored to do that because I think like back in my day, you know, going to be a computer something was big, right? And being in the trades was looked down upon. And I'm like, you can make a good, honest living.
But you can't be a star.
No.
You can't be...
I know it all.
I never... When I was a kid in my teenage years, the amount of friends I had, including myself, we never wanted to be photographed or documented mm-hmm. to be shared online. Mm-hmm. And now it seems like everybody wants to be documented and shared online mm-hmm. because there's a fragment of possibility that there'll be a star one day.
Yeah, everybody wants to be famous.
Yeah, and I'm like, you really don't want to be famous. Trust me, you want to just enjoy life and experience mm-hmm. life and do things. But if you have a passion for trades and do something in the trades, yeah. then do it and follow the right people and mm-hmm. then reach out to them, because the right people will give you insight. Mm-hmm. The wrong people will just tell you off. And they're not, but then they're bitter at their own choices in life. So we don't know what's going on in their life, right?
Yeah, and like my Instagram is connected to my website. So it's kind of like my portfolio. But now I've started to switch it up where I'm trying to show things to help people, because there's a lot of people and women that just don't know how. And I want to show little tricks. So that's kind of what I've been starting to do as well. And then I want to kind of, show them what I use, say for brushes or my tapes, right? Yeah. It's not that I'm trying to promote the brands. I'm just trying to say, this is a good product.
That's what worked for you.
This is what works for me. It may not work for you. You may not like this product, but I really like it. And you have to use good products. You going to, the dollar store and buying one of those little brushes, you're going to have hairs that are coming off your brush, and or buying that what is that old green tape? I still see it. It's like that. It's like a masking tape. I come across
just a regular green tape.
It's a green tape. Yeah, but peels. It's crap. It peels the paint off the wall for one, and you trying to do a straight line, it's going to bleed right through.
Attention contractors and construction professionals, do you feel like your expenses are way too high? Imagine cutting your spending by 28%. At Schooley Mitchell, they dig deep to help you save on essential expenses that could be impacting your bottom line. Their risk-free analysis allows you to concentrate on your trade while they find those savings for you. Don't let extra expenses keep you from achieving the success you deserve. Reach out today to schedule your risk-free analysis and unlock your savings. Find them at www.schooleymitchell.com/office/AEGIUGGIO/about, or reach out to them at erica.jugio@schooleymitchell.com. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. What are you using there? You're not, I don't know. I
think, okay, so these are kind of like...
A lot of people are using frog tape, right? But I'm not a big fan of frog tape.
No. So this is Asics, and it's a Blue Dolphin washi tape. It's really thin. Okay. But I love it. And the exterior one, which is orange, it sticks. It's almost like a duct tape. And this brand, I've just gotten recently into it. It's Q1, and it's a UK product, but they've come into Canada now. And this is the multi-purpose. And what I like this stuff. It's still really thin, but, you put it on, and you can paint on it, and it gives a really sharp line. Because a lot of times I am, just painting the wall, not doing baseboards. I used to be against tape forever. But then I'm because,
tape works.
Yes. And, I think because the old back in the day, if you tape, you're not a real painter, right? But the tapes have come a long way.
It's a tool.
And it is a tool, and it's a great tool. So when I'm doing walls and, say they have oak trim, we all know if you roll, it's still going to splatter a little bit.
Yep.
So you need to protect it. You put on a good tape, and I'm not doing it necessarily because I don't know how to cut in. I'm doing it so that I can protect the oak or the baseboard that I am not painting.
I know I saw a video recently where it was a guy who was an old school. I didn't see his face. I didn't see anything. Mm-hmm. But he's like, if you're using tape, you're not a painter.
Yeah.
And then he was cutting. And I'm like, your cutting's good, but you're showing me a small portion of this room.
Yes.
I want to physically walk into that room and see your entire cutting process.
Yes.
And if I look at it, I feel pretty confident.
Yeah.
I'm going to see that tape would have been better in this opportunity.
I mean, you can't get anything better than a straight, sharp line with using the right tapes.
So you can't just dismiss it. It's just use the tools that you...
Yes.
And that's why I always joke about DeWalt or whatever. I'm a Bosch guy. I will always be a Bosch guy. That's what I grew up on.
Yes.
My dad handed me a Bosch, so then I just became Bosch. That's as simple as that, right? Mm-hmm. And I like their tool. Do they have the best tools and everything? No.
No.
But no particular tool brand has the best tools and everything.
No.
That, not even Festool. I don't care what you say. Their drills are some of the ugliest drills I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
They look like they belong on Star Trek. And whether they have the torque or the necessity that we need, I don't see hardcore North American tradespeople using them for the purpose of drills impacting or drill driving. I don't. That's, use the brands.
Yeah, I think that's more of a like a do-it-yourself workshop person.
Yeah.
Like I'm not, if I'm going to buy a drill.
Everything's controlled and every tool has a perfect cutout shape to holster it in.
Yeah.
I get it. But no, we're talking about real job sites here.
And like I'm using it for sander, but I mean, I
don't own
it.
And sanders are amazing.
But at the same time, not everybody can afford it. That's why I haven't bought it. I use a DeWalt, actually, like an Orbital. And I have a Bosch as well, an Orbital. And I just, I mean, I can use it. I have the dust on it, or the collection.
Yeah.
And that's what I use most of the time. It's really about efficiency, the right tools, quality of the job. You don't have to always have the most expensive tools to get the right job. Or the job done.
No, the easy argument is just to say that you can give an expensive tool to a useless person.
Yeah.
They're still going to do a crappy job.
Yep.
You give them a bad tool
to
a person that has some skill, they'll do a good job.
Yes.
That's just how it works, right?
Yep.
I want to just double back before we wrap up. I think a lot of the new women that are coming into construction are a little hesitant to reach out to men for advice. And they probably stay on course on just reaching out to other women to get their insight. And I think that's a mistake because I've met my fair share of female plumbers or even other trades females. And they've had great experiences talking to other male tradespeople that have given them great insight. And I think as a woman coming into this industry, if you just dismiss that opportunity to speak to, you still got to vet them. Go online, start dropping a DM here and there, and you'll get a sense if this person's an idiot or they don't really care about the industry. Because I've said it over and over. If you care about this industry and you want more people genuinely to come into this industry, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. That person will share that insight and give it to you and even help you out.
Well, I think we need all young people to get in the trades, not just one side.
I think it should be prerequisite. I think it should be like a play day that, you know, whatever. It should be like a year's worth of high school.
Yeah.
Should be like the summer or something like that. One month, every student should go and do a trade to learn, to volunteer.
Well, look at like back, I don't think they do it anymore, but back in grade 7 and 8, we had home ec and woodworking.
Oh, they got rid of most of that.
And I learned, how to sew a pretzel, but it was, I got taught that and I got to work with a lathe and I got to build some cool stuff back in grade 7 and 8. I wouldn't have had that exposure.
I think if you take kids in elementary school, start teaching them how to manage money, make money and save money and grow money and understanding compound interest and just tell them, listen, just save $1,000 at the age of 10.
Yes.
You're going to be a multimillionaire by the time you're thinking about retiring later on in life. But you do the exact same thing with trades now. You go, listen, how to woodwork, how to carve metal, how to tinker, how that, like that argument about it's illegal. We don't want anybody to get hurt. Then find the right instructors to teach them right.
Yes.
That's what you need to find.
You find and you wear the right safety equipment.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love doing what I do, but I was taught by men, and I have a lot of great men that I've met on Instagram that do either my job or other jobs, and they're very approachable. I'll say, hey, what do you think of this? I have a friend, I've never met him. His name's Woody. And I think he's about an hour away from me. And he actually is the one who got me into the washi tape. He's like, Layla, you need to try this. I'm like, what is it? You know, and that's what
and
we do.
And that's how the conversation starts.
Yes.
But I go back to the point that a lot of the new women coming in are a little nervous about reaching out to men because it could be the wrong. And I'm like, it could be. But it's not the majority.
No.
The majority of good people in the construction, man or woman,
yes,
they are willing to help out. They're willing, yes, to share insight. And they don't look at you as competition, even though if you're in your own backyard.
No.
They're just looking at it like, I'll give you my 2 cents and you've seen my posts and I'll share this, yeah, and I'll share that. Yeah. I've always shared probably more than 90% of my insight on what I've done on construction sites.
Yeah.
Because I never thought of myself as a one-trick pony. Mm-hmm. If you think that way, then that makes no sense. And plus, you got to adapt to the times too.
Of course you do.
Right? There's always new products that are coming in, and I'll see that new product, but then I'll also dismiss it really quickly too. Yeah. Right? Like, I don't.
Is it useful for what I, yeah, do? And I think the women, what's the worst? And everything's texts or emails today. What's the worst thing they're going to say? No. You have to
put, or they won't reply, or they'll just say, no, I'm, yes, not interested in helping you or whatever. They might not even bother doing that.
No.
But who cares? Like, start with a DM and just, I've always responded back to everybody that's respectful on any of my DMs.
Yes. And it's I haven't really had any negative on mine.
Well, I've had plenty.
Yeah.
Not for a while.
I mean, I did on one of my posts, and it wasn't meant to be negative, but a couple of people took it negatively, and I was like, whoa, I don't know why. But I just shove it off and I'm like, on move to the on. Next. Move on. Because I don't know who you are. It's not affecting my daily life. People that are important to me are the ones that I want in my life.
We got to do the 12 questions.
Yes.
Layla, IG, Layla _ painting. Reach her is lbradypainting@gmail.com. Did we cover? We covered everything. I think we did.
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep.
You ready?
I am.
You got new ones, I think, right? I hope so. A person you would trade places for a day.
The person
you would trade places with for a day.
Someone, whoever created the human world. I want to go back in history and have it go beep, 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 and all my knowledge is there. You want that there.
Responsibility for creating the next gen or the next
I don't want to create the gen. I just want the
But history. You're trading for a day, so you can only imagine how many people are made in one day.
I don't know. Next.
Guilty pleasure.
Chocolate and sugar sweets.
Any particular chocolate? I'm a Hershey Kisses guy. Like, I just all eat them.
I go through different chocolate. Like, I love licorice dipped in chocolate.
Licorice and dipped in
chocolate. Oh, my God.
Like, you know, red?
Yes. There's black, too, but I don't like the black. The
black
red
has a...
Real Thompson's. They are my guilty pleasure.
Really?
Oh, my goodness.
They have that?
Yes. You're going to have to come down to Stratford, and I'm going to take you out. I'll take you out. I'll show you some amazing restaurants that I love.
Licorice. I haven't had licorice in forever.
And they're like, you know, like the hard,
yeah,
kind.
Twizzlers or whatever it
is. Not Twizzlers. Okay. The harder.
The harder. The candy. Okay, I know you're talking. Yeah. And they're dipped in chocolate?
They're so good.
What is your least favorite tool?
The grinder.
Yeah.
It scares me.
Biggest risk you ever took?
Starting my own business.
Best compliment you ever got?
Probably from my father, being proud of where I am.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's your favorite beverage?
Ginger ale.
What never fails to make you laugh?
Probably my family. My sister has this quick wit about her. And she makes fun of me, and it's hilarious. Like, she's like that.
What worst piece of advice you ever got?
To go home and cook some meals instead of...
Someone actually said that?
Oh, yeah. They did. They told me I shouldn't be on the job, and I should go home and be in the kitchen.
Did you ask him what he was having for lunch that day?
No, crap. I was just like,
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
Old school plastering.
Oh, the old line plastering?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, there's only a couple of people that I know in Canada do it. In Europe, I can imagine there's a lot more.
Yeah, I would have to go. I think I would go to Europe and see about taking a course.
UK would be a good place to do it.
Yes.
Well, UK, it's a whole trade. The whole paint, wallpaper, plastering.
Painting and decorating, they have, like I looked to see if I could take a course while I was there, but it didn't. Nothing was in the time frame I was there.
Favorite curse word?
The F word.
What's your favorite vehicle? Any mode of transportation?
68 Camaro.
What color? You going black?
I want shiny black, and I want the engine to purr.
You know, that car looks good in yellow, too.
Yeah, I'm not a yellow girl.
No?
No. I think I'd probably
I'd go black with a black. Racing stripe.
Well, that'd be nice, too.
Yeah, white racing stripe.
Mind on. You know, the Shelby is really nice, too. I want the engine to purr. Yeah,
it's not good for the environment, though.
I know, but it purrs such beautifully. I'm like, what is it? Gone in 60 seconds?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a beautiful. Oh, Eleanor. I mean, yeah, and it was silver, right? It was
silver with a black stripe.
Yeah, that would be beautiful too. I mean, you pull up on the road, driving that, and it purring really nice.
When I was younger, when I was riding, and when I pull up to a hybrid or an EV, I would just rev it.
Yeah,
I didn't care.
No, I'd rev it too.
I'd rev it. I don't give a shit. Let them give me a dirty look. I don't care. Last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
Layla, you've done a good job. Come on in.
Thanks very much, Layla. I really appreciate you reaching out and getting on this show and talking shop.
Thank you.
We haven't had a painter in a little while.
Well, this has been fun.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. No, it was lots of fun. And everybody can reach out to you, right, in your area there if they had a job, project, and anything going on.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to ask me questions about anything, I'm quite happy to answer anything.
You can ever hire somebody on? Because you're a one-woman shop, right?
Oh, no. I've had people work for me. I don't like it. I'm a bit of a perfectionist. And what happens is that I feel bad. And I give, instead of me giving them kind of the shittier jobs, I take on the shittier jobs. And then I give them the good stuff. But then people don't like to show up. You know, people have excuses of why they're not. Course. And I mean, it's hard when I'm on timelines. So it means that I'm working now, you know, 70-hour work weeks, and I'm exhausted and burnt out. And I mean, at the end of the day, I'm still quoting, I'm still doing paperwork. I got to be a mom. I got to be, you know, I'm a girlfriend. I got to make dinners. I have a lot of responsibility.
I think if I was hiring today, I would like give them an air tag.
Yeah.
So then I know exactly where you are. Yeah. And if you're bullshitting me that you can't come in or whatever, and I find out where you are, then
yeah,
it's my business.
And I mean, I get it. They're not invested in my business.
That's what I mean.
The thing is, I'll just go off topic real quick. This is my problem with young people. I don't care if you work at McDonald's, you work at Tim Hortons, you work at a trades. If you have applied and you are working at this job, I don't care. If unless you're really sick, you go into work. You know these excuses, and because they're like, oh, it's just a minimum wage job. Well, you know what? Someone's counting on you.
Yep.
So now you are without that person, and now the whole team suffers. And that's where I have a problem.
They don't factor that in.
No.
It's not ever a part of the equation.
No.
That's them calling in sick for whatever reason. Unless they're like, the limb's been cut off. I understand that. Then you're in a hospital room. I get it. But if you're just not feeling like it today.
You just don't feel it. And that's where I have an issue, because I go in to work all the time when I don't feel great. Because I said I was going to be there. I'm going to be there.
You know what I don't see around anymore? Stress balls. Nobody has stress balls anymore. Remember that back in the day? We're always giving out stress balls and just like you're squeezing it to just get rid of the stress.
You know what I have though? I don't use it very often. It's like a little donut ring. Like it's a donut. Like it's plastic and like a circle.
Okay.
And you can buy them at the dollar store and you can squeeze them sometimes.
So it's a stress ball.
It's like a stress. I don't know. My stress, I drink more coffee.
Today's generation, they don't have stress balls or whatever. They just go stress therapists and they have to find out other ways of fixing their problems that they created themselves.
Yeah.
Thanks, Layla. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're out of here.